The speaker that we had tonight was one of our very early speakers. And I know that it's been like 2 or 2.5 years since we started this meeting. It, time passes quickly when you're getting old. And so, you know, I did is I wanted to have her back. And it's my great pleasure to introduce someone I've known for quite a few years in the program and have worked with at both Region and with at World Service. So, Wanda, it is all yours. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you. And I just want to thank Joe and Beth for what you do for keeping this meeting safe from bombers and intruders. And it means a lot to me to come to a OA meeting that's like it was when we were meeting in person. And it was, we knew we were safe. And I'm happy to be here. And I love this meeting and love all of you. And I love seeing your faces. And there's just something about sitting here, seeing the faces of people that know me and care about me and want the best for me. It's just so heartwarming. I love being here and seeing everybody, those I've known a long time and those I'm just meeting tonight, but it's wonderful. And there's nothing like it. The common bond that we share. And, you know, the big book talks about that we are a group of people that ordinarily would not mix, that we're like passengers on a sinking ship. And we have a common problem, but in OA, we have the common solution as well. And I'm just so thankful to have mixed with all of y'all and just getting to be who we are. So that's what I'm going to do tonight, is just talk to a little bit about who I am and who I was and what happened. You know, we all have a story, and a lot of us have this pretty much a lot of the things just that we can just say, yes, I did that or whatever. But there's always things that we didn't, that we don't understand that happened to each one of us. And that's different. But we do have a common solution, and thank goodness for that, that there is a solution to this issue of turning to food in ways that are unhealthy, and in ways that we've tried to use food to calm us down or whatever. And I'll just start with kind of the beginning of, and I didn't know anything about compulsive overeating as a child, but I had already gotten into it, I'm assuming. I was born on a farm in Eastland County, Texas, and to a farm family, and my mother cooked for the hired hands, so I know she was a good cook, and she was a good cook all of my life and her life, and loved to cook for us kids, and that was one of the things she did well, and then she wanted us to enjoy it, and I did my share of that. And after we moved from the farm, my father had an experience that he wanted to become a preacher. So he did. He became very religious and brought us up to be very religious, and would sit us down sometimes and just kind of preach to all of us kids, because at that time, the oldest son was in the Navy. He was gone, but he had a bunch of girls and a younger boy. So sometimes just, I think, preached to us. So anyway, a lot of times I would, we'd see our friends outside playing hide and seek at night or something. And we'd be in there, you know, listening to my dad. You know, to this day, I don't remember what he was telling us, but I'm sure it was good stuff that we needed to know. But anyway, that was kind of my early experience with that. But as I matured, well, first of all, I will say that the first time I remember overeating, or not overeating, but just eating something that calmed me down or made me feel good, or something that I felt like I got away with, maybe. But I was 8 years old, and I remember sneaking food, crackers is what it was, out of the kitchen, and I went outside and I ate them by myself. And, you know, it must have made me feel good. It must have done something for me that I would still remember that event. And the thing of it is, at 8 years old, you know, it wasn't unusual, but a grown woman still doing things like that, you know, something's wrong. And so that truly did become a pattern in my life, was sneaking food and eating it when no one was watching, and eating in front of other people like I was a normal eater. And in fact, going to parties after I had binged all day long, and then I wouldn't eat anything at the party. So, I mean, it really had become a problem in my life when I realized that was not, it was not what I wanted to do, and neither was it what others were doing. My husband was a normal eater. We would sit down and have a normal meal, and then he would get up and go do something else and take care of his working in the yard or whatever he wanted to do. And I couldn't do that. I would sit at the table and just keep eating until it was gone. So I didn't want to live like that forever, but I lived like that until I was a grown woman in my 40s, and I had three children and was able to work and take care of kids and get the kids to school and do all the things that we do when we're raising a family in a busy world and busy school activities. And I felt like that I had things under control to a certain degree, but yet I could not control my food. And so what did I do when I couldn't control my food? I tried to control other people, and I tried to control basically my family. So, you know, that didn't work out too well. And so I've had everything in life that should have made me happy. I had a happy home and enough to eat and kids that didn't give me any trouble, and they still don't. And they're adults now with kids of their own. And we love each other and basically understand each other at this point in life. And it's beautiful to have seen the relationship that we can have with our kids and other people when we kind of give up trying to control and run their life. But anyway, I realized at some point that I wasn't happy. And in fact, I didn't realize I was depressed, but I knew that things that used to make me feel good no longer made me feel good. I remember one time we were at a parade, and I love parades, and I was standing there watching that parade, and I thought, you know, this isn't as much fun as it used to be. I'm not having a good time. And never realizing that I believe it was part of the way I was eating, and it probably had caused my depression or something. But anyway, those kinds of things, when I look back on them today, I think, you know, I'm so thankful that that's in my past. That's a long way back there. Because 39 years ago, I came to my first OA meeting. And that was a time at Thanksgiving. So I had my time in program last month, and also the abstinence that I claim today, came along 2 months later. So I celebrated 37 years of abstinence last month. And it seems like that most of my life has been OA now, because I hardly ever really take time to think and to talk about how it used to be. I spend most of my time thinking about what it is today and how my life looks today. I'm very grateful for the way that OA has worked for me, because it's worked slowly and gradually. I was not an overnight success when I came into OA. I came in that Saturday after Thanksgiving. My sister took me to a meeting, and they said, "Well, are you coming back Monday night?" And I said, "Oh no, I can only come once a week." You know, after all, I was used to going to places where I could weigh in and once a week, so they didn't weigh me. But also, I didn't realize that, you know, I would be coming back 39 years later and way more than once a week now. So I just think it's interesting how gentle this program has been for me. It has been something that it just gave me what I needed at the time. And, you know, I didn't try to take in everything all at once. It just one day at a time has worked for me. It just happened. That first year, I kept going back to OA, even though I wasn't abstinent and couldn't really hang on to anything. I could get it for a day or two. At that time, OA had just quit giving out food plans. And so they kind of told me what their abstinence would look like. And so I tried to basically do that. And this was right after Thanksgiving. So there was a lot of food still left in the refrigerator. But I came home from that very first meeting and I tried to just eat at the mealtimes at sitting down at a table. And I did that for 2 weeks. And even though I was eating the leftovers from Thanksgiving, I wasn't binging on it. And I thought that my answer was, I thought I had it made already. But little did I realize what I'd been doing with food was eating my feelings down. And so after I quit doing that and just sitting down at the table and having a meal and getting up and going doing something else, I started crying. And I realize now after program, I had been using food so long to push down my feelings that when I quit using food, those feelings had to surface. They had to do something else. So I was crying and I didn't know what it was, but I kept thinking it must be those OA meetings, and it scared me. And I didn't know what to do with that. And so I just remember one time that I was in my car driving to my daughter's basketball game. And I just started crying and uncontrollably. I just couldn't stop it. I had no idea that it was because I was abstinent, but that it was a good thing. But I just turned around. I didn't go to the game. I turned around and came home and I made a phone call. And, you know, I think God gets us to the phone a lot, and he certainly did me that night. Anyway, I did talk to another person. And at that time, they had asked me to write out my history of overeating. And I wrote it out. And of course, I didn't know what to do with it. So I actually tore up the first time I wrote it out. But they asked me to write it and read it to one of them. One of the ladies said, call me and read it to one of them. And so this really dates me, but I went to a payphone and called her and read it to her. Nowadays, nobody knows what a payphone is, but I was so afraid that someone in my family would know that I had been eating like this. I guess I just I don't know what I was hiding, because I wasn't hiding much of anything, really. I was eating up food that the family, that I had bought for the family and such as that. And, there's something about our disease that we think we're hiding it, and it shows up on our bodies and in our actions. It was certainly showing up in my actions. So anyway, I've kept going. I went on back to the meetings and I started sharing in the meetings, and I was crying when I was sharing in those early meetings, because I was sharing from my heart, and I wasn't used to doing that. I was used to talking about the weather and about my kids and about what my husband was doing. And I wasn't used to sharing about me and my, from my heart. And so at those meetings, I could sit down with four or five women and share. And I mean, after a while, we were keeping a box of Kleenex on the table, because we were just kind of passing it around as we shared. There were several of us that were fairly new and in the same stage of getting the message. Anyway, I did keep going back, and 2 years after my first meeting, I did get the abstinence that I claim today. And what happened really in our meetings was someone got really serious about this is a disease and it's not something we can play around with and say, oh, well, I did that, but that's okay. Got very serious and started really carrying that message. So I got a little more serious about that and started realizing, I guess, God had to do it, or all of my efforts were not going to do it. God had to do it. So that was the greatest gift I think that I had ever been given, or maybe to this day even have not received anything any better than the gift of abstinence. When I could drive by the fast food places and not even realize that they're there anymore, or not even see the all the stuff in the grocery store that I used to fill my cart with. I mean, that was a miracle in my life. And I just wanted to go up and down my road and talk and tell everybody that they needed to come to OA. So I did talk to my sponsor about that, and she encouraged me not to do that. So probably saved me some friendships. But she said, Wanda, you just work your program. And if they want to know what you're doing, then you can tell them. And later on, I did have that opportunity to tell my friends and neighbors what I was doing. And some of them came with me for some meetings. But, you know, not everybody that comes to the meetings gets the same ability to do it or to hear it, I guess. I don't know. But I'm so thankful that I did. I'm so thankful that I kept coming back and that I wanted them to hear the message. I wanted to hear what those people were talking about. And I'm thankful that I'm still around. For one thing, I'm thankful I'm still here and still on the path. And it's a beautiful path. And in fact, I just last Saturday night, I went to a 80th birthday party of one of the people that was at that very first meeting that I went to. So we have grown old together in OA, and I'm just thinking about the people that I have in my life that are 80 now, and they're OA friends, and I love it because, you know, we don't feel like we're ready to go to the nursing home or to just totally sit down in our rocking chairs. And I'm grateful for that. I think that's amazing that we have a lot of longevity, at least as far as I'm concerned, we do in OA. And I believe it has a great deal to do with not only with the food that we've been able to get in its proper place, but also in the 12 steps that we've worked and gotten rid of a lot of excess baggage and a lot of really changes in our life. I had the opportunity last Saturday to speak on step 5, and the spiritual principle of step 5 is integrity. And, you know, I never had thought much about that word before last Saturday, but I looked it up in the dictionary because integrity, you know, it just means keeping our word and being honest and being kind and helpful. And it just means so much that it's made my life easier in many ways to think like that, that has come from OA, that integrity. And I'm glad I looked it up. My sponsor looks up words in the dictionary all the time. In fact, she carries a dictionary in her purse. I guess she still does, but I have started doing that once in a while. So I did look it up and realize that word integrity is part of step 5 in our program. I know that those words are very meaningful to those of us who walk this walk and stay on this path. They take on different meanings and different they matter more somehow from time to time. I can get hold of one of those words, and it just matters to me. I can really feel the essence of it, and I so appreciate the spiritual principles of the program, the honesty and the spiritual the way that we have to look at life. Step one is really about just admitting that we're powerless over food and that life is unmanageable. And I thought that I wouldn't have any trouble doing that, but making it work in my life and actually realizing I'm powerless. I guess that's what took me 2 years to really, really get that I get up and if I think I'm going to eat something and then I change my mind and fool around with it, I don't need to be doing that if I'm powerless. I just need to let God work in my life and put, well, the food that I have today is it's good for me, it's healthy, and it's filling and enjoyable, and I believe that letting God work with that somehow, I don't know, it makes me feel better. But anyway, after step one comes step two, and that is when we come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. And I thought that I had already done that when I came to OA because of my religious background. I thought I had already done step three. I thought those would be easy for me. Well, it turns out that those were not so easy. And my sponsor pointed that out to me when I had trouble. And I was still having some trouble when I was working with the sponsor those first 2 years, because I still wanted to understand the things on the level I had been understanding. I didn't have the spiritual understanding that I got through working the steps. But anyway, she told me that I could not do step three until I had a power greater than myself that I trusted. She said, you can't trust your life over to somebody that you don't trust. You can't do that. You have to be able to come to believe in a power that you can trust to take it, to do it. And so she worked with me on step two. I know that that's the reason that I chose that particular sponsor, because she was nothing like me. She wasn't raised in a religious home. She didn't have the same background that I did. But when she opened her mouth and talked about her higher power, it was like, oh my goodness, her higher power loves her unconditionally, accepts her just as she is not trying to make her change anything. She's not ready to change. She really taught me about acceptance and the way that God looks at us and loves us no matter what. And so she basically helped me to get a higher power that accepted and loved me. And I had always felt loved, but I had always felt that I needed to be better in order to keep that love coming. And I don't have to feel that anymore. I don't have to feel that God's love is conditional. So I did a step three then, and a step four was, back in those days, we did not have our OA 12 and 12 that we have today. So I kind of did what one of those ladies had really typed up, something that came from another 12-step program, I think, but we worked the steps. And I used the big book of AA and the AA 12 and 12 for that first inventory. And when I gave it away, I did a fifth step with one of the ladies in the basement of that church. And all I did really was just look at my life. I didn't even look at my part in it. And I just look back today and I think, my goodness, I've come a long way when I realized that that first inventory was just about what life had been like for me, and never got into my part in some of the things that would give me the realization of what my character defects were. But, you know, we don't have to do these steps perfectly, and we certainly don't have to do that first fifth step perfectly. So anyway, the person that I did my fifth step with, she just loved me and hugged me after I had finished. And the big book is so good to tell us that, you know, we feel like when we do that fifth step, that we're just a part of the human race, that we're not any different from everybody else. And I had felt quite different actually from other people for a long time. And so I began to feel more like I'm just a normal, regular person. Of course, I had plenty of opportunities to do more work and do the steps and realize my part in some of the things and my fears to realize my part in some of those. And my sponsor helped me with that all the way. And by that time, I had been using a different sponsor that had worked all the steps, and so she helped me with that, with the sixth and seventh step of acknowledging our defects of character. For me, it was the ones that I was tired of, afraid of, and didn't know what to do about. And so she helped me with those character defects and did step seven. And then comes step eight, where we really get to look at our part and see. For me, it was the things that I felt bad about, that I felt sorry that I had done, and that I couldn't, sometimes didn't know why I did them, didn't know why I had done things that I did. So I made some amends, and just little by little, I did the easy ones, I suppose, because I talked to my sponsor about it one night after a meeting. And at that time, I was going to meetings at night. We had meetings lasted till about 9:30 at night. And so after that, my sponsor met with me on step eight and basically helped me with each thing that I needed to make amends about. And I wasn't expecting to start doing it that night, but it just so happened that when I got home from there, from that meeting, my daughter, who was by that time was away at college, but was home visiting with my husband, they were both sitting there at the kitchen table waiting for me to get home. And here it was late. And so I got to make amends, you know, to two people right then and there, and I wasn't expecting to. But anyway, it was a good start for me to be able to do that. And when I, after my daughter left, my husband and I talked, and I, you know, made amends for the money I had spent on the weight loss programs that I said I was doing and wasn't really doing, and all the lies that I had told about my weight loss efforts that I wasn't really doing. And he just said, well, I always knew you were doing it because you weren't losing any weight. So I knew you were doing something, but he seemed to understand. And, you know, he had always been so supportive of me coming to Overeaters Anonymous. And he seemed to understand that I couldn't help what I was doing. And that was very, it was very reassuring to me to think that, that he realized that when I was sneaking around eating food that I didn't need, that I couldn't help it. And, you know, I had been thinking in my head that I should help it. I should stop this. I should, and I couldn't. And so I had been beating myself up because I couldn't stop it. And there was my husband realizing that, that I couldn't help it. And you know, I've appreciated that about him so much. He really helped me. And after I got abstinence, and I mean, after I got abstinence, things began to happen in my life. And as far as just things that I had wanted to happen and things and situations that I had wanted to clear up, got cleared up and all that. But I just remember one day I came home, I guess I had been shopping one Saturday, and I had been wanting him to do something about my flower beds for years, probably months anyway. And I came home from work and all of a sudden everything was there, it was done. And I thought, why is he doing this now? Why is he doing that? I didn't know, but you know, I know today that my life had changed so much in OA that I was a different person. And therefore he was a different person as well in many regards. So it's my theory that if one person in the family is working the 12 steps, it affects the whole family. And I believe that has happened in my life, that has happened for me. One time my husband, and I know that especially my daughter, she was my youngest child. And I know that she was worried about how far is mom taking this new life she has. I know that she was concerned because I was gone a lot. I was gone to meetings. I was on the phone. And I know that she was concerned. And so my husband talked to her, you know, and he said, now you let mom go to those meetings. Don't worry about it. She needs those meetings. So she'll be okay. You know, it just affects the whole family. And to this day, my children are, when I say that I'm going to a meeting, and in fact, before I came tonight, I texted my son that I try to text in the evenings now that I live alone, now that my husband has been gone. He passed away 8 years ago. So I've really had a lot of time to be alone and do things in my own way. Anyway, when I texted my son tonight to tell him I was home, and I told him that I was coming to a Zoom meeting, and you know, because I didn't want them to call while I was at this meeting. So they all understand, and I'm grateful that that we have the relationship that we do today. And I'm grateful that for the service that I've been able to give to OA, it's amazing when I can look around at y'all's faces and see people that I have known and loved for years. There's just nothing like the bond that I have with you folks on this meeting. And just giving service has been one of the highlights of my life. I know that it has. Getting to travel and carry the message of recovery and just talk about program. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. It was just amazing for me, the program that's offered me, the service that I've been able to give. I've had people in my life that have encouraged me to do it. And just, you know, been at the right place at the right time, I guess, because that's kind of how it has worked for me. You know, I helped start the first intergroup that we had in Abilene. And then after we got the intergroup started, well, we started hearing from people from Region, and I didn't even know what they were calling about, but yes, they told me about Region 3. So started going to Region, and you know, what a miracle that was, getting to meet people from all over the place about, you know, who did the same thing that I was trying to do in recovery. And then to go on to World Service Business Conference. And it's amazing. The things that I saw and learned at that first OA business conference, I'll never forget. I believe it was the last one that was in LA. It's the first one that I went to. And I didn't know what those people were doing, but I was just amazed. I mean, it was just kind of mind-boggling, really, because what came out of that was, you know, what was the the service that helped OA continue for another year and thrive. And I'm so thankful that OA is still thriving. There's a saying that we have stood on the shoulders of giants. And I know that I have. I mean, I have met Roseanne, you know, our founder. I've met AG, the first man in OA. He's a Texan, and he used to come to talk to us in Abilene. And, you know, the older I get, the more I realize I have met really rock stars in OA. Because those people have helped me and encouraged me and answered questions for me. And Joe's one of them. Joe came to Abilene and did a convention for us many, many years ago. And, you know, I don't know if Joe remembers this, but he did a little thing where we joined arms, and he said, put your arm in one, you know, I believe it's something like hold on to one person that's been around for a while, and then other arm is get you a newcomer, something like that. I don't know, but I remember it to this day that we did that. Just learning different things from different people. We had someone that came to do a, I guess it was a convention. We had conventions back in those days. And it was Tana from Dallas. And she had a skit that she did with songs about recovery. And it was, I mean, it was special. And things like that, you know, I have not forgotten to this day the things that I have seen and heard and the people that have helped me along the way. Thank you, Joe. And there's been so many people that have helped me along the way. My sponsors have helped me along the way. And I had local sponsors for a while, for the first two or three people that worked with me. And then after we had worked together for years, my sponsor that was local quit coming to OA. And I thought we could still, you know, do our work together, but it didn't work. I needed someone that was actively in OA. And that's when I called the sponsor that I have now. And that sponsor has helped me for the past, I don't know, about 20 years, I guess. But that is something that I just think, you know, where else would I be able to find help like I have found in Overeaters Anonymous, where everybody is just willing to give service and give help. I mean, I could call any one of you here tonight, and I don't know how many are here, but if I called you, I know you would answer the phone and talk to me, or you'd call me back, because that's what we do for each other, and that's what y'all have done for me. And just showing up here at this meeting like we get to do every Sunday night, there's a lot of mental energy and spiritual growth that goes on here in these meetings. I just feel like that it's been such a huge part of my recovery to be here, you know, on Sunday night and just see y'all and hear from you and know you're here, knowing you're still on the path. That's one thing I just want to say. I know you're still on the journey, and that's important to me, because I've seen a lot of people come and go, and people that have been around for a while have left from locally from meetings. And it's heartwarming when I can come here and see you and know we're still here. We're still here doing what we have learned to do. And that is just keep coming back. And Roseanne said, you know, many years ago, keep coming back. And I have a copy of the book that Roseanne wrote, Beyond Our Wildest Dreams. I was at the World Service Business Conference whenever it was first published, and she signed it for me. And that's what she wrote in that book. Above all, keep coming back. And so that's what I want to say tonight, is let's all keep coming back. One of my favorite things, I guess it's the favorite part of the 12-step book that we have, our OA Step 12, the last paragraph in it, it talks about those of us who live this program don't only carry the message, we are the message. And each day that we live well, we are well. And we embody the joy of recovery and are willing to share it. And I just love that. I just think it just is so important to me. We all carry the message. We are the message. You are the message to me and everybody that you meet. I mean, we don't have to even say that we're members of Overeaters Anonymous, but we are the message. And so I'm just thankful to be here. And Joe, thank you for continuing this meeting, because it's meant a lot to so many of us, and I appreciate you and all you do. So that's all.
Thank you. I appreciate you. And yeah, I still remember that Abilene convention. It was wonderful. We were lucky enough that we did have some bombers, but we did it. We're not going to unmute everybody. If you want to share, kind of do your hand.